أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وبشر فرجه.
ثم السلام على آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم الأجمعين إلى يوم الدين. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجه.
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها. صدق الله العظيم. صلاة
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Now those of you who have been with me in the last 9-10 days, whatever, you know the topic has been Asma ul Husna. And the ayah is from Surah number 7, ayah 180. So it's easy to remember, because 7 days a week, you want to make a 180-degree turn towards Allah, right? Towards divinity, towards reaching your full potential. So he says, for him are the most beautiful names. In other words, the most awesome attributes. فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. If you want to call him by those names. Now, what we've been doing over these last few days is learning these names. I'm going to go over a few things as repetition, because I can see some faces that weren't there. So, just so that you get it back with me, right? The idea in life, the goal in life, each one of us, is to reach our full potential. Every single one of us here, if you were to go deep down and say, what do you want from life? Especially if you're as old as I am. Because when you're younger, you want to get through your college, you want to get married, you want children, all the rest of it. Grandchildren. I now have 5 children, 9 grandchildren, 64. Yeah, okay, you've done it all. You've been there. So it's easier now. And for you as young people, it's easy for you to understand that what you want in life is to reach your full potential. That means when Malik al-Maut comes and says, time up, and he will do that whether you like it or not. So when he says time up, you're able to say, thank you for life. I did my best. And it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It is you did your best in the eyes of divinity. Now, he says success in his eyes is a little bit different from what human beings see first. He says success in his eyes is to adopt his attributes in yourself. That means when somebody sees you, they're able to see divinity. So the Prophet says, تَخَلُّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. Adopt in yourself the akhlaq of Allah. And you can only do that through understanding these attributes. Now I'll go back to a story which I've been saying over the last few days, and I'm sorry for the repetition, but the Quran says, enough of this dhikr. It's always good to repeat again and again. So, we ran an organization on Saturday called Workshop, which is Saturday Workshop, and kids coming, beautiful children, right? So I remember some years ago, this 5-year-old came in and she said, Omi auntie, I'm going to Jannah. I said, oh my goodness. And you know, with that conviction that only a child can say. Adults don't say that. And she had this conviction, I'm going to Jannah. And I said, okay, if you teach me, then I can go as well. But you're allowed 10 people. Can you take me with you? And I could see in her head, she was going, mom, dad, brother, sister, friend. And she thought, maybe I have a space left. And she said, yeah, okay. So I was there. So I said, but if you teach me how you can be so confident about going to Jannah, then I can take 10 people too. And I'd like to go as well. She said, quite easy, me auntie. You're the one who gave the book. And I thought, what is she talking about? So at the end of term, somebody had donated some books to us, and that book had a small Husna in it. And at the end it said that one who is able to memorize or incorporate a small Husna into their lives will definitely go to Jannah. So this five-year-old sang this. Have you still seen this Nasheed, right? Sami Yusuf does a beautiful one. Yes? So you've seen this Nasheed, and she sang the whole thing. Now she's five, definitely going to Jannah, and her parents, and everyone. Yes? But the idea is to adopt them into our lives, and that's what we've been doing the last 9 days. So I'm going to go through some of the ones we've already done. But Nahid, and she's actually awesome because she doesn't impose, she said, well, could you talk about giving? And I thought, okay, sometimes it's nice to get a topic because then you can focus on something. But she also goes to say, well, if that's all right with you. And I thought, yeah, okay, this time it'll be okay. We can incorporate a smile of a smile. But I'll start with a few that we know, and then I'll go on to the ones for giving. It was a lesson for me. And I couldn't, sorry, Nahid, but I just couldn't stop crying when I did this one because it's just something else, okay? So, first of all, if you were to put all 99 names into a pot and melted it, out would come a lot. To say you didn't know anything, at least you can say, Ya Allah. That's not difficult, is it? And no, Ya Allah. La, 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 la. Allah, you fill your mouth. Ya Allah. I mean, it's got to be, you've got to fill your mouth. You've got to say it the right way. Somebody was asking me the other day, well, can I do them in English? And I said, well, my name's Ummul Baneen. And if you came and said, oh, mother of sons, can you come here? Oh, no, why don't you call me by my name, right? Same thing with divinity. Call him by his name, so Ya Allah. Rab is synonymous with Allah. It's not part of the 99 names. And in the Quran, every single place where Rab appears, you find that the prophets, everybody did Ya Rabbi. Ya Rabbi or Rabba. Now, you will not find any name of Allah or attribute of Allah personalized. You will not see Rahmani or Rahimi or nothing like that. But you will see Rab is your personalization. He's your Rab. He's my Rab. It's personalization. So when you call him, okay, you know Ya Allah now, you also know Ya Rabbi. Yeah, you good with that? Okay. Then we come to what people say, Isme Adam. Do you know what Isme Adam is? Everybody's mysterious names that can cause miracles to happen. And everybody wants to know them. They look at the 99 and they say, Picha Isme Azam. Or sometimes they see somebody and they say, I'm sure she has Isme Azam. They go, hello, we've got access to them. All of us have them. So the ulama tell us, the scholars tell us, that there is some Isme Azam in some of the names. One of them is, or a pair of them is, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. Everybody knows that. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum bi rahmatika astaghith. That is something you do when you're stuck, right? Hay is the ever living. Each one of us wants to be immortal. You think about it and say, no, but I'm tired of life, I want to die. But you still want people to remember you. You want them to think about you. You want them to be there. Yeah. I'm going to ask you a question. Your great great grandmother, do you remember her?
No.
Why not? After all, you've got her nose or her eyes or her cheeks, or when you look in the mirror, you see her, you've got her traits. Why don't you remember her? But you and I want to be immortal. So hay, and it's not our topic today, but hey, ya hayu ya qayyum. So hay is literally, and like I was mentioning in the majalis, it's like on your WhatsApp, it says two blue ticks. Somebody's ready all the time. They're online all the time. Every time you go to WhatsApp, they're on. Qayyum is whatever you write, they respond straight away. They might say, wait, it's better for you that I bring it later, but they will respond straight away. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. And we looked at the three R's as well, which was Rahman, Rahim, and Ra'uf. Oh my goodness, you remembered. Okay, so Ra'uf is the extreme form of kindness with no pain. You see, a dentist, when you go to him with a toothache, might cause a bit of pain to relieve your distress, but that causes pain. If you go to a hygienist, it's like you've got Rahim, Rahman is a dentist, Rahim is a hygienist. Even when they clean your teeth, oh my goodness, have you been there? Mm-hmm. If you haven't, try. They clean them, but there is a bit of pain. But Ra'uf incurs no pain. So now when you want something done without pain, you will say, Ya Ra'uf. It has an amazing effect. So what did you do? Ya Allah,
Ya Rabbi, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, and Ya Rabbi. You're really getting good at this. Okay. So we also did Aliyu and Hakim, but I won't go into this. Another known as Ismi Adam, which you should incorporate in every dua of yours, is Ya Zul Jalali Wal Ikram. I'm not going to go into that today, but today I want to go into this bit about giving. Okay. What is giving? What is asking? All the rest of it. So the names that are associated with giving are Al-Ghani. Okay. I'll go into each one. And with Ghani goes Mughni. Ghani and Mughni. They're like a pair. Then you have Shakur. Then you have Halim. And you have Wahab. I'm going to go into these five names. And then we'll go into giving. Or we'll do it together. Okay. So Ghani is normally translated as the rich one. Generous. And the, well, rich actually. So the moment somebody says Ghani, and it's number 88. Do you know... I don't like saying this, okay, I won't tell you how to remember it, it's my children's version. But 88 is Ghani. Now, Ghani is the rich. Rich, the moment somebody says rich, you see pound signs, and you see dollar signs. That's not what rich is as far as this is concerned. As far as Allah is concerned, yes, He has absolutely everything. The Prophet said, if all the human beings and the jinn, from the time of Adam up to Khatam, up to Yawm al-Qiyamah, would ask Allah for something, and He would grant it to them, it would be like a needle prick in the ocean. So He's got everything, Ya Ghani, right? But to you and me, the richness is different. So I'm going to take a really coarse example. Say, for example, somebody was earning, I don't know what the minimum wage is today. So she would say, how much?
£10.60.
£10.60, how much does it work out in a year? Let's say £20,000, okay? Is that good? Okay, so say somebody earned £20,000 a year, okay? It doesn't sound very much, but it's 20,000. And then there's another person who earned £20 million a year. But the one with £20,000 a year is able to fulfill his obligations, be able to live well, and is very content. There's no harm in wanting more or working for more. There's nothing like that. But say, for example, he's content with what he has, not a destroying it, so you understand. But the one with 20 million has expenses of 21 million. The rich one is the one with 20,000. There's a wonderful story, and all of you know it, but I'll repeat it. There's this guy who was fishing. I love fishing, right? And some man came up to him and said, what's wrong with you? You're young. You can't fish at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Go do some work. He said, I'm quite happy where I am. Now I work. I have enough. We do have a good life. And I like to fish. I go fishing. He said, why do you want me to work hard? He said, so you can get some more money. He said, and then? He said, so you can retire. He said, and then? He said, and then go fishing. He said, I'm already doing it. How would you want me to go through all that hassle? Okay, so Ghani, and put it into perspective, I'm not saying don't strive hard. It's a human being's getting to full potential to strive. But the Ghani, a rich person, is one who is content. That is what rich is. So with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we compare it always to ourselves. I'll give you some du'as later if I have some time. Mughni, so I said Ghani and Mughni. Know these two names. It's quite important. 88 and 89. They go as a pair. And when in the Quran or in Asma'ul Husna, you see two names that mean the same put together, it is to be able to accentuate their difference. Let me give you an example. Rahman and Rahim, yes? Everybody says, the kind, the merciful. Really? I mean, what's the difference between kind and merciful? I'll give you an example, a very crude example which I give children. Say, for example, I told you, go to my drawer and get me a blue scarf. If there was only one blue scarf, it's like easy. But if I have a whole selection of blue scarves, you say, which one do you want? The light blue, the turquoise, the dark blue, the... Well, you don't have those scarves, do you? I'm talking about me, not you, okay? Somebody's talking. So light blue and dark blue. So when two things are put together, it is to accentuate their difference. So Ghani and Mughni. To be able to differentiate between them, Mughni is known as the enricher. Okay, that's how it's translated. I think that's what it's translated. It is enricher. Now the Arabs, when they ask each other questions, I'm not going to go into Arabic, just English, they say, what is his color? That's the first thing they ask. What is his color? And when they ask, what is his color? They're meaning to say that how does he deal with what he or she owns? How do you deal with it? Do you let them own you or do you own them? Enricher is someone who whatever he or she has the ability to share. I know children say sharing is caring. And that's basically what enricher is all about. As far as Allah is concerned, he fulfills every single need. Surah number 14, ayah 34. Please have a look at it. If you've got a Quran, write it down. If you don't have a Quran, write it down. If you have a Quran, look at it. He says, وَأَتَاكُمْ مَا كُلِّ سَأَلْتُمُوهُ. He grants you whatever you ask for. May not come at the time you want. May not be exactly how you wanted it, but definitely going to be better. So are you good with Ghani and Mughni? Want to be rich? Ghani and Mughni. The only way you can be Ghani is by being Mughni. By being able to enrich another person's life is the only way I can be Ghani. Now the next one I'm going to do is Haleem. I love Haleem. So you don't remember anything, just say Ya Haleem. Haleem is Khichri. Do you know what Khichri is? You don't know what Khichri is. In Kachi, Gujarati, all the rest of it. Khichri is that rice that's overboiled, but you make it into a dish. Okay? So I'm going to go see my son tomorrow. And I said, Baba, what would you want me to bring me? Bring you. He said, Mama, Khichri and Gadi. I thought, oh my goodness, that's beautiful. Okay. I mean, just leave the rice, let it cook, and it's done, right? Stick some butter in it, and you're good. Okay, so remember what Haleem is. It's like Khichri. In the Arabic language, or the translation in English says forbearing. I hate these English words. I don't understand what forbearing means, right? Forbearing, or Haleem, actually means, if I'm trying to translate it into my language, it means somebody who shows no anger even when they witness disobedience. Okay? Haleem also means somebody who just gives and gives and gives. And it doesn't matter how they give. Haleem is a muscle. You know, if I want to cure my ignorance, I read a book. I pick up books. I listen to YouTube, all the rest of it. Haleem is a muscle that you need to build slowly. It means not to react, but to respond. So when somebody says, you know, we go all nuts, right? Our fuses are short. I'm talking about mine, not yours, okay? So I have one daughter-in-law, so you can imagine, poor thing, okay? Anyway, that's how it goes. All right, I'm going to give you some examples of Quran. Quran calls Ibrahim Haleem. Ibrahim is called Haleem. In the Ibrahim and the Haleemun Awahun Haneem. So why did you call him Ibrahim Haleem? Why? Why suddenly he got that name? Well, Ibrahim was given good news. Surah number 11, I think Surah Al-Hud, if you look at 74 and 75. 75 is where it's called Haleem. In 74, he's given the good news of a son. And a son at quite an old age. But then he's told that we're gonna destroy the people of Lut. Right? I don't want to go into that whole thing, but basically they kidnapped young boys and then they took advantage of them. Okay, so anyway, so we're gonna destroy them. You know what he says? He says, give them some time. Just give them some time. Remember, Ibrahim moved near there to be able to deal with the people of Lut. Lut was his cousin. He sent him over there to be able to reform them. That was his hill. Give him time, but I'm going to talk about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad. Are many of you from the Indian subcontinent? I am. My grandfather was born there. My grandmother was born there. Are you there from there? Many of you.
Most of them.
Okay, so you like this story. So Muhammad, so if you imagine, he's lost his uncle, Abdul Muttalib. He's lost his wife, Khadija. Nice. Difficult, okay? In Makkah, they reject him. Why do they reject him? Because he's trying to change their way of life. To them, it was the survival of the fittest. If you didn't match up to their living, to the way they were, they chucked you out of Makkah. He couldn't handle it. He just couldn't see it. And because he was trying to change that, they didn't like him very much. So he thought, you know what? Maybe I should go to Taif. Taif was a place where people had second homes, like holiday homes. Mm-hmm. And he thought, when somebody is successful enough to have a second home, maybe they've got some intelligence as well. Yeah, that's the logic. Plus, he thought, Maybe they also have, he had some relations there, maybe they will understand me better because they have studied more. You know, we always think that if you've got economic success and you've studied at Cambridge, Oxford, any university for that matter, we always think that somebody with some sort of intelligence will be able to understand a concept much greater than somebody who doesn't. So he goes to life. And do you know what? They beat him up. Their children pelt him when he's sent out of the town. Now, that's an awful place to be. You've got to imagine what it's like. So he sits under a tree. And he sits under a tree and he's really upset. Blood dripping from top to bottom. The angels come to him and they say, you know what? We can destroy Thaif. All we have to do is crush them in between two stones. They didn't ask me that. If they did, you know what I would say, okay? Now. Are you coming now? You should come 5 minutes before. Anyway, so this is what they ask him. And he says, no, you can't do that. Because from their progeny, there might be somebody who will be righteous. And you know what? The first person to bring Islam to the Indian subcontinent came from Thaif. You and I would not be sitting here like this. It was that person from Thai, from their progeny, who went to the Indian subcontinent and introduced Islam. So what I'm trying to say is, that is Haleem. That is that Khichdi. You know that big heart. It's horrible. It's not easy to have that heart. To be able to take somebody's insults with not saying anything. To be able to... I don't know, to be able to withstand somebody looking at you and saying something or making judgments just because of what you wear or what you look like or what you are. It's not easy, but that's what Haleem is all about. So you want somebody to look at you and say, oh my goodness, you are Khichdi or you are Haleem. So you remember Haleem, right? You good. Do you know what number it is? I'm trying to find it. I know it is, but do you know which one it is? It's actually 32, but we'll go into that later. Now let's look at the Quran on giving, okay? All right, so it says, Qawlum ma'arufun. This is, by the way, Surah Al-Baqarah, from ayah 200 and about 63 onwards, right up to about 270, yeah, that's 286 ayah, it's the longest surah in the Quran, about 270 something, all talks about giving. All of it, right? It's one of the most addressed topics in the Quran, but a very difficult one. So let's see what this says. This is Qawlum ma'arufun, a good word. A word that makes somebody smile, anything. Well, maghfiratun, and forgiving. That's, forgiving is a bad word. But what I would like to say is covering somebody's sins. Is khayrum min sadaqatin. It's better than the giving we do, the sadaqah we give, or any good stuff we do. Yatba'uha adha. Wallahu ghaniyun haleem. Now, always when you look at an ayah, look at the last two names, or the names of Allah that are mentioned, because that tells you what the ayah is about. So everywhere you go in your Quran, highlight the names of Allah and you'll see that. So he says, Ghani and Haleem. Now you know what Ghani is, you know what Haleem is. So basically he's saying that rather than give somebody charity or give them some money and then go back to it with man and azar, and these come in these ayahs as well, I'm not going to go into each one, it's better that you don't. Just smile at them, give them a good word and cover up their bad deeds. Because can you imagine somebody giving you something and then explicitly they tell you, oh, do you remember I gave you that? And implicitly they make these sarcastic comments, they look at you and you're obliged. That's not what it's about. It's not about obliging someone. At the end of the day, he or she gave you an opportunity to put money in your bank account up there with no problems at all. It's awful, and I'm sorry to say this, if any of you are involved, I apologize from now, but not apologize in the sense that I feel bad. Apologize because you shouldn't be doing this. When I see pictures of people with orphans, when I see pictures of people with whatever they've donated to, it hurts. Why are you making them feel so obliged? They are doing you a favor. Are they not? And then you have these wonderful pictures. Oh, I'm doing this. Are you serious? You hold this child and you say, well, I did this for this child. Okay, she or he did you a much greater favor. It's different when you're trying to engage other people to get involved. That's a different thing altogether. But otherwise, if I'm doing it to get some sort of accolade, no. That doesn't work. And this is manna wal adha. Can you imagine them seeing that picture? My father died when I was 10, okay? And I can still remember the people who came up and said, Bichari. You know what Bichari means? Bichari. And I'm thinking, hello, Bichari, what are you on about? Because my grandmother had always taught me that death comes from him. And you know what Marhum means, don't you? Somebody who is surrounded by the mercy of Allah. So why are these people saying Bichari to me? My father was 37, by the way. Why are they saying Bichari to me? That's not the way to behave. So here Allah is saying the same thing. He's saying, do not follow something up with manna wal adha. Man is that explicit and implicit reminder. Adha is pain and hurt. Don't hurt people after you forgive it. Give it and let it go. It's not yours. And when you gave it to them. Let me give you a story so you understand. Imam Zain al-Abidin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
So, he's with his companions, and this person comes up to him, and he's a person in need. And whatever Imam has with him, he gives to this person. And then Imam tells him, you are my mohsin, which means you have done ihsan on me. Ihsan means I am obliged to you. And the man goes away. And the companion says, surely you are his mohsin, not the other way around. You gave him whatever you had. And Imam said, let me explain to you. Who will take what I have? Take it, deposit it in my account with Allah, multiply it 70 times or more, and not charge me for the deposit at all. Who? Except this person who came to me because he was confident enough to ask me, can I, you know, may I have something? And it's not always about money. It could be absolutely anything. So there's a wonderful saying in Arabic which says, I taught him archery, and the first person he threw the arrow at was me. You've heard that before, haven't you? I taught him what he knows. And now, my friend here, who is sitting here, last night she wrote to me, it's marriage mindri ne mane miau kare. Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
My cat, and she meows too. Me. Well, that doesn't happen with this. This actually says, once you've given what you've given, once you've done what you've done, it belongs to them. You've given it to him. Leave it. It's okay. It'll come back in the best of ways, okay? You good?
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're going to do Shakur. Shakur? Are you good at that?
Yeah.
Shakur is 34. I love Shakur as well. Sorry, I love Shakur. Now it says in the translation, Shakur is the rewarder of thankfulness.
Yeah.
When do you say thank you to somebody? When they give you something. And when you, and you don't give Allah anything. He's got everything. What do you give him anyway? Where do I start giving him anything? So he's not in need. So what does he thank me for? Now, I'm going to go through Arabic. So in Arabic, shakarat al-dhabba means when an animal, say you own some animals and you fed all these animals, but one of them became fat. Human beings don't like becoming fat, but they like to see their animals to be fat because there's more meat, so we get more price for them, okay? So shakarat al-dhabba is somebody whom you give a little, like you gave the same food, but this animal became a bit big. Right? So you call that shakara dhaba. And that's where the word shukr or shakara came from, which is basically that somebody manifested a blessing. So when you get something, you say thankful. Now let's go to Allah. Allah gives value to our deeds. He's not a shakir. But this one in Asma'ul Husna is shakur. Shakur means the one who magnifies your deeds beyond what you even dreamt about. Way above. Okay? So you gave him something tiny and he made it look really big. The Prophet says that it's like you gave him a seed and he let it grow, and on the day of the Qiyamah it looked like a mountain. That's how big it is. Okay. So he says, and I'm going to what the Prophet said, that it could be a smile. It could be absolutely anything, a good word. And I say this story many times about Alaa Majlisi. Have you heard of Alaa Majlisi?
Yeah.
Okay. Lovely guy. Okay. Whenever you think of Salah, in your Salah, remember him. Because I remember him when I see a plait, you know? People do a plait. He used to take his plait and pin it to the wall. Because if he slept, the plait would pull him back. He wrote this massive book, massive volumes of book, called Biharul Oceans of Light. So he and his friend made a pact. We could do that as well. So he made a pact and he said, Whoever dies first should come into the other person's dream and tell him what happened. So he, Imagine he dies first. And his friend thinks, I haven't seen him for such a long time. What the hell is going on? You know, he's forgotten me. I don't know whether you think that as well. My mama died in 2016, and I see her occasionally, but I go, where were you? You been boogieing with Papa or something? You know, what's wrong? Where are you? Same thing. So his friend sees him in his dream, and he says, what happened? Why are you so late? And he said, you have no idea of that accountability I have to go down there. So he says, yeah, but you were one of these people who did such a good thing. So he said, what did they say? He said, Majlisi, what did you bring? And he said, hello, Biharul Anwar. So many volumes of a book I wrote, and remember, no computer, no photocopier, nothing, just handwritten all the time. So they said, Majlisi, what was on the cover of the book? He said, my name. He said, well, until Qiyamah, whoever reads it will say Majlisi was phenomenal. He was a protege. You know, very young when he became so clever. Anyway, so I said, Majlisi, what did you bring for Allah? He said, I racked my brains. I didn't know what. I had no idea what I brought. So he said, I don't know. He said, well, I'll tell you what you brought. I'll give you two versions. I'll give you the one version. There's two versions. They said, Majlisi, one day, because you're so intelligent, the court of the king asked you to come. And you were told to come, and they came with all their fanfare. You know, that time they had horses and carriages and whatever. Today they'd bring you their BMWs and Mercedes and whatever, right? Rolls Royces, sorry, I forget. Okay. So they bring you all that with all the people with it, right? And he said, when you got onto the carriage, you got into it, and this guy who always bugs you. He's always sitting on this ledge on the sidewalk, and he's always asking questions. He says, Majlisi, I have another question for you today. And he thought, you know what, he's still going to be there when I come back. But he said, as you went a little bit forward, he thought, my Rabb is not going to like that. So you made this whole entourage go back. You got out, you sat on the ground, and you spoke to him.
SubhanAllah.
Okay? That is what Allah accepted. Can you imagine? It's this tiny smile, tiny thing. This tiny phone call. The Prophet says, this tiny phone call, these people will go on the Day of Judgment, and they will look at their deeds, and they'll say, Ya Allah, where's my Hajj? Where's my Umrah? Where's all these big things I did? And the thing you will see is when you called your mama and you said, I love you, mama. That's it. Wow. It's that tiny little thing that made such a difference because it was done so selflessly. Don't let anybody, absolutely anybody, tell you that you're too far gone, you're lost, no way back. Load of baloney.
Wow.
Okay? Because part of our shakur is ghafur. Ghafar. Ghafar is number 14. If you don't remember anything I said today, remember 14 as the door of the masumin. You know that? Anything can be forgiven. Don't let anybody make you believe that, you know, it doesn't work. Ya ibadil ladina asrafu wa la anfusahum. La taqnatu min rahmatil. La inna allaha yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. This is Allah, not me. Okay? He says, oh, those who have been unjust to themselves, don't ever, ever despair of the mercy of Allah. Inna allaha yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Allah forgives all sins. I mean, where will you find a God like that? It's not rocket science, and it'd be stupid to move away from it. Sorry. Okay, I don't mean to say that. Just me. Okay. So, that was shakur. So much I can say about it, I'm gonna not go too far. With shakur, the one thing that you got, if you look at shakur as such, he says, well, in shakartum, if you thank me, I will increase for you. You've all read that, no? Whenever you thank me, I will do more for you. Thankfulness means when you want something, you want Allah to, it's appreciation, when you want Him to accept your thankfulness, it's got to be done in a good way. It's got to be something that is done well, right? Done well only for Him. I'll give you two stories because stories are a way of teaching and they, you know, children understand. Like I said, I speak more to children than to adults. I'm petrified of adults. When I sit here, I think, oh my God. I prefer those little ones. So, sorry. Anyway, so let's start with two stories. One of them is about a builder. You've probably heard it. Okay, good to repeat. There's this builder who was going to retire. Now, his boss asks him to build a house. And he's always cut corners because he feels he's not paid enough, he feels he hasn't got enough. So even with this last house, he cuts corners, he doesn't do things well. On his retirement party, His boss gives him the keys to the very house where he cut corners. He couldn't say thank you. Didn't know what to say. So whenever you and I do something, put your whole heart into it. When we give, give as though you're giving to the master. You know, you are, which you are. You're giving to yourself. Okay, let's not put it there. Giving it to yourself. So you're always going to give yourself the best. Have you seen what you give to yourself and your kids? Okay, you don't tell me that. We always pick the best for our own. And if not for us, for our
children.
So imagine you're giving to your children. What would you do? We sometimes collect clothes. Well, we've done that a couple of weeks ago as well. And if you see when people bring you black bags without their name on it, if they have the name on it, they put it nicely. Now we ask for a name. But when we didn't ask for a name, you'd be surprised at what we put into those bags. We don't fold them. We don't iron them. We put things that are disgustingly dirty. And we just stuff them all in and we drop them in. It's sad. Because giving is about giving the best. And we say it, but it's like giving my child, I won't give my child that black bag if I, you know. We have to wear gloves and put sometimes masks on. I could wear COVID masks, but masks on to be able to separate these clothes because they stink. Okay. So giving, basically do your best. Let me tell you something that you and I sometimes think about, which is Sufra. Do you know what Sufra is? I'm Java Sadi. It's
Sufra.
It's a very Indian subcontinent. Okay? And that wasn't anything by the anima or nothing like that. It all started with this woman who couldn't have children. She was married to one of the Mughal kings, and she couldn't have children. She was a Hindu who converted. So she's married. It doesn't matter who she was. Anyway. She couldn't have children, and she kept a nazar that if I have children, I will invite everybody in the village to a dastarkhan, as you call it, to a feast. When she had a child, she fulfilled that need of having a dastarkhan. But she was phenomenal because she gave in her tradition, and she brought it from her home. She had these kundas and these candles, and there's nothing wrong, flowers, and she laid them all out. And when they went home, she gave them tabarruk. And the tabarruk she gave them was kheer. You know kheer, right? Mm-hmm. I know, rice pudding.
Yeah.
She gave them rice pudding. But she kept a few of those rice puddings separately. And for those in the village who needed it most, she put money into it. Wow. Now we didn't realize that. So when they wanted to celebrate Muawiyah's death, they didn't want to do it in the Indian subcontinent, so there'd be a problem between the Sunnis and the Shias, not right. So they decided to do a dastarkhan in the name of an imam who would bring them rizq, right? Who was, as you might want to say, Shakur, Halim, all these names that we've talked about. So they did this in the name of Imam Sadiq. And they went into ahadith and they saw in some ahadith that he loved milk and rice. He didn't say kheer, milk and rice. Then they thought, what is the food that we can do that is affordable to both rich and poor and needs preparation? And they thought chickpeas, because chickpeas have to be soaked at night and this was the cheapest food available. They didn't want to do biryani because people couldn't afford meat. So they did chickpeas. Can you see the history of where that comes from? This was done in the best of intentions. This is Shakur. Because you included everybody in it. So they served these chickpeas. And they served this kheer. I mean, they didn't want to have just plain rice and milk. So they mixed it together, stuck some nuts in it and sugar in it and cream in it and whatever they wanted to do in it. And that's what they did. But they did it with the fact that they would be appreciated. And then they put money in just to those people who needed it most. In fact, at that time at the Indian subcontinent, they put gold in. You know what we did? We put rings in. Yeah. I remember when I was in Nairobi and I was invited to one of them. And in one of the things, there were supposed to be car keys. And everybody was going, which one is this? Which one is this? But that's not how it was done. Anyway, so that's Shakur. So now you've got Shakur in your head properly, right? Okay. I'm going to do a couple more stories and then go to Wahab. Are you all right for time? I'm not sure how I'm doing. Are you good? So shakur, in essence, is that, and the last thing is to understand why we do things. There's a wonderful story about an old man who's planting date palms. And date palms take a long time to grow, between 20 and 30 years. And this guy comes back and says, what are you doing? You're old, and you're planting date palms. You will never, ever see the fruit of those date palms. And he said, I ate of the dates of what my great-grandfather and my grandfather planted. Dates and olives. Olives take a long time, you know that. I am planting these so that any future generation may be able to benefit from them. So a shakur is not about immediate gratification. It's about knowing that nothing is lost. It will come back. Okay. And finally, the last one that I'd go into before I go to Masai is Al-Wahhab. Oh, it's so beautiful. Wahhab is number 16. Now, Wahhab is known as the gift giver, or the one who gives you gifts, right? The bestower, it's sort of translated as. So when do people give you gifts? A gift is unexpected. B, a gift is given out of the joy of your heart. I mean, it's just something that's absolutely amazing. And a gift is something that surprises you. I remember a little girl at workshop, very little, 3.5, I think. And she said she wanted to give me something. And she gave me this lollipop. It's still in my freezer, by the way. This is about 30 years ago. She gave me a lollipop which was wrapped up in a cloth because she used to suck that. Yeah, that lollipop for that. She's actually a mother now. And I actually tell her, come and see this, okay? It's still there. But that was the best thing she owned. That was what to her was very difficult to part with. Can you imagine? I might see it as, oh my goodness, I still see it at the bottom of the freezer because I can't let it go. But for her at that particular time, in fact, she told me the other day, she told me, Andy, throw it. Please throw it. I'll replace it with 100 lollipops. So don't want your lollipops, okay? Because at 3.5, that was the best thing she could give. That is what Al-Wahhab is about. Now, in Quran, when Allah talks about Al-Wahhab, he talks about three things. We need you to listen to this because we need to ask him to give us those gifts. The first thing he talks about when it comes to Wahhab is, when you say the gift giver, is he talks about guidance. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَحَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَحَابِ. You all know. Surah number 3, ayah number 8. Don't turn my heart away. Don't turn my heart away from Hussein. Don't turn my heart away from this Quran. Don't turn my heart away from what you have given me. Right? And grant me, Hiba is a gift. Grant me this gift of Rahma, which is grant me this gift of guidance. Innaka antal Wahhab. So the first thing he talks about is guidance. The second one you also know, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yunin. Okay, waj'alna lil muttaqina imama hablana. Ya Allah, give me a family. Give me a spouse. Give me children. But those spouses and children, that family, is supposed to be qurrata a'yun. Let me explain qurrata a'yun. Rider goes into the desert, sandstorm. The rider can only cover this much. He has to leave his eyes open. The camel has got windshield wipers. He can get the sand away. When the rider reaches a place of comfort, like a covered place, a cave, he says, I have reached my qurrata a'yun. That means I've reached a place where there is so much joy in my eyes, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing, when you get home and you open the door, or when your husband gets home, or your mother gets home, or your father gets home, or your children get home, do you say, oh God, here we go again? Or do you say, I see, putting my phone away, the peace of my soul. So the second thing that Wahhab gives you, everybody can have a family. But to have a family and be part of a family that's qurrata a'yun is a gift from divinity. And it's really important to keep it there. The third thing is what Sulaiman asked for. So let's look at Sulaiman. I'd like to end with this. So there's Sulaiman. Sulaiman, it tells Allah, and I'm trying to look. It's 38-35, by the way. When I write 38-35, I draw a crown. So he tells Allah, Ya Allah, give me a kingdom like you've never given anybody before. That's what he wanted. Okay? So he wanted a kingdom that he could control. That's what he wanted. And Allah grants him that kingdom. He could talk to the winds and the animals and all the... After that, people had kingdoms, but nothing like Suleiman. So now, this is what the prophet says. He said, Allah says, first he said to Musa, Ya Musa, ask me for the salt in your dough. Ask me for the shoelaces in your shoes. Musa asked me everything. And then he said, do not limit your want from Allah. Do not say, Ya Allah, but it's okay, just give me this much. La, 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 la. Aim for the stars. Just aim up there. Because the moment you limit your asking, you have limited him. Have you not? And you know what? It's okay to ask for your children to go into Jannah. But why do you want to ask for them something that you want? I'm a Khoja. I love being a Khoja. So being a Khoja means that we want our children to be doctors, dentists, accountants, pharmacists. Isn't that true? Okay, don't say yes to me, but that's what we do. You know, somebody says they're a doctor, oh, mashallah, you know, it's whatever. So my youngest daughter decided she wanted to do art. Fine art, she said. And my husband said, but you're an A-star student. Why can't you be a doctor? My God, did he know? Why can't you be a dentist? Why can't... He said, all you want to do is scribble? And she said, Papa, I want to scribble. Life's different now, she's graduated. But this is what we do. Ask for what they want to be able to reach their full potential. And when you ask, don't limit it. You want to be a doctor even now? Go for it. I know a 90-year-old. I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro this year, and I absolutely adored it, okay? But I thought I did something great. I didn't. With us was a 90-year-old. She actually got to the summit. That's amazing. She said, I kept on telling God, if she can do it, I can do it. And it's phenomenal. So always aim for the stars. When you ask for Allah, don't limit it. Don't limit what you want to ask for. Ask Him for just absolutely amazing. Just amazing. But when you ask, always ask that the ability He gives you is an ability that you're able to share. Not one that you will keep to yourself, that you're able to move forward. And I was asked for a Messiah to focus on one of the most favorite people I have, that's Sayyidah Zainab and Sayyidah Sakina. It's just phenomenal, these two. They literally aimed for the stars, and they live forever. Even the girl who's only 5.5 years old. Just going to go a little bit of Messiah, so stay with me. When the prisoners entered Kufa, so you can imagine, that imagination is a gift that Allah has given you and me, which are absolutely phenomenal. So imagine that they have been waiting outside Kufa for a long time. And the reason that was given to them to wait outside was that Ibn Ziyad was preparing his palace, he was decorating it. So imagine, even if we have to wait in a queue for a little while, we get tired. These were tied, they were pelted, their hijabs were removed, and they were waiting outside Kufa. When they were allowed to enter, some people put hot water over them. It wasn't the scenario that you sometimes think about, but you think about it, this is being done. Habiba, she lived in Kufa. So she runs down from her house when she sees these, especially when she sees the children whose lips are parched. They cannot accept sadaqa. Their lips are parched and she sees Sakina with parched lips. She doesn't recognize her. She comes down and she pushes the soldiers aside and she says, Bibi, I have some water for you. As Sakina takes this cup and lifts it to her lips, she says, Bibi, wait, I have heard my master Hussein say that if you want your du'as to be answered, then ask someone who is madloom, on whom there is dhulm being done. Because their du'as are answered quickly. So Bibi prays, so she says, what do you want me to pray for? She said, I want you to pray for two things. One, I want you to pray that my children never suffer the fate that you are suffering. And two, that I do the ziyarah of my master, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Sayyida Zainab looks at her and says, Habiba, you did not recognize me, Habiba, because my face is covered with my hair. But Habiba, both your du'as have come true. Your children will never, never face what we face. And look ahead of you. Look up, Habiba. On the spear is your master. Do his ziyara and say, Assalamu alayka, ya Aba Abdullah. When she enters the court of Ibn Ziyad, the head of Imam Hussein is brought on a platter. When it's brought on a platter, Ibn Ziyad is poking Imam with a stick. And she says, what are you doing? And he says, don't you see? This is what God did to your brother. This is when she says, Ma ra'aytu illa jamila. I see nothing but beauty. Basically, she was saying that the dignity of my brother you cannot take away. You will be forgotten, but he will live forever. Like twins of Shah, when they sent to Damascus, this is where Yazid resides, the little girl is in prison. She remembers her dad a lot. In the evening, she would hold on to Imam Zainab, and she would say, I look up and I see these birds. They go home as well. When will I go home? And she said, soon you will go home. He didn't know that a few days later, when her mother would tell the son, she would actually tell the son, do not rise in the morning, for my daughter has just gone to sleep. She's been crying so much and remembering her dad. So don't rise, please. When she saw that her daughter was still asleep and the sun was rising and she couldn't wake her up, the mom did not realize that when he would say, Inna lillahi inna ilayhi raji'un. Say, Alamun alladhina zalamu ayyam qalbihi an qalbihi. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to be able to manifest in ourselves the Asma al Husna. Let us pray to Him that we are given the ability to share more than anything else and to be able to give without getting anything back from anybody else. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samii'ul 'aliim.